Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark A. Bell. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark.
Hey, Mike.
I am going to give a summary of a great paper here. Again, it's one of these papers that you seem to be picking more often that sort of challenges and questions what has become orthodoxy in medicine, in this case, dealing with diabetics.
We're mythbusters, man. We're mythbusters.
You are a mythbuster. It's common to find people with type 1 and type 2 diabetes in the hospital, usually for treatment of conditions that are other than diabetes. For example, one study, 25% of patients with type 1 diabetes, about a third of patients with type 2 diabetes, had a hospital admission during the previous year. And not surprisingly, patients with higher values of glycated hemoglobin were at a higher risk for admissions. Glycemic control is likely to become a problem in these hospitalized patients, perhaps because the stress of the illness or procedure that they're having, perhaps because of changes to their dietary intake and or their physical activity, and perhaps because of the frequent interruption of the patient's usual medication regimen. Not surprisingly, when matched for disease, the costs and the length of stay are greater in patients with similar illnesses who have diabetes compared to those who don't have diabetes. The main goal of patients with diabetes who need hospitalization, with regard to their diabetes, that is to minimize disruption of their metabolic state, to prevent any bad things from happening with regard to their metabolic state, and to return the patient to a stable glycemic balance as soon as possible, as soon as they can eat and walk and those kinds of things. The standard for care in the hospital, at least since I've been in training, has been the insulin sliding scale. You found an article published in the journal Metabolism, which I hadn't actually read this month's Metabolism, but you found it nonetheless. It's published in 2015. It's in volume 64. It starts on page 1183. That's a lot of pages of Metabolism for a year.
It's grueling.
I guess we should go back and think about last week we did a study on insomnia. This might be another approach is to read Metabolism. Nonetheless, it starts on page 1183. It asks the clinical question, does the use of sliding scale insulin improve blood glucose control in hospitalized patients? It's a meta-analysis. Mark, what did they find?
Yeah, so just to remind readers, each month, and actually for the past 20 years, each month, there are seven of us who review 110 journals. And some of those journals are on the bubble in terms of, are we ever going to find something useful? And Metabolism is one of them, but we finally found something useful in Metabolism. And others, you know, like half the poems come from like the top 10 journals that you can commonly think of. But, you know, we once or twice a year, we'll find some nugget in a little known journal. And so we keep looking. We keep looking. So yeah, this was a meta-analysis of randomized trials comparing sliding scale, regular insulin sliding scale regimens to manage hyperglycemia in hospitalized patients. Basically, the studies were comparing regular insulin sliding scale with a non-sliding scale regimen. They were all giving, regular insulin based on blood glucose levels. You know, when we were in training, we did all these, you know, fancy little calculations where we take the blood sugar and subtract the target blood sugar and divide, you know, by some number, and that gave us the number of units of insulin. So target blood glucose in each study varied. Some of them were shooting for 100 to 150, some for less than 140, some for less than 180, all kind of in that general ballpark. Hypoglycemia, which is one of the complications they looked for, was defined as glucose less than 70 in most of the studies. Two of the studies looking at hyperglycemia defined it as sugar over 180, the rest as greater than 240. So the meta-analysis basically found no significant difference in the percentage of patients who achieved a blood sugar in the target range when you compared sliding scale with non-sliding scale regimens. The trend was actually in favor of the non-sliding scale regimens, and the difference became significant after one study that had a really wide confidence interval, one smaller study was removed. So relative risk 1.5, so about a 50% increase in achieving the target rate. So in addition, the incidence of hyperglycemia, the mean blood sugar levels were higher in the sliding scale group, so that's not good. Overall, hypoglycemic episodes were more common in the non-sliding scale group, but there was no significant difference in severe or symptomatic hypoglycemia. The length of hospital stay was the same in both groups. And then one study compared the use of routine diabetes medications plus a sliding scale with the patient's routine medications alone and also found no difference in the number of hypo or hyperglycemic events. So, you know, basically some kind of a basal bolus regimen where you give somebody a basal dose of insulin and then you have regular boluses during the day. That was the most common alternative and is probably better than just, you know, using a sliding scale. And it's not terribly new thing. I mean, there have been, you know, certainly in our hospital for, you know, 3 to 4 years, they've been trying to discourage people from using a sliding scale. It's just so ingrained in practice, and, it, you know, it seems so logical that it's one of those things that has been kind of hard for people to give up. And, you know, it wasn't as if there were, I have to say, there weren't dramatic differences, and the sliding scale wasn't dramatically worse than the, you know, basal bolus or the alternatives, but it was also clearly not better, and on some of the measures was worse.
Thanks, Mark.
All right.
We'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, Mike.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.